In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blake, you can blow those out. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. In today's gospel, we have an incident where the Lord, as far as we know, and I've checked most of the gospel for this, but for the first time, he actually says that he marvels at something. And what does he marvel at? Well, you have a centurion. Now think about this. A centurion in the Roman army who meets up with our Lord, who, as we saw last week, was in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount. And now he has come down from the mountain into Capernaum. And Capernaum was a city that was really his hometown. If you could consider any hometown as belonging to the Lord, that's where it would be, because it was a very friendly city to him. And he kept revisiting that and revisiting it over and over again. And so he comes down this time and meets this man who has a slave who is dying, paralyzed, not doing well at all. And this Roman soldier, who was no doubt despised by all those around him, yet has enough faith according to the limited understanding of whatever his particular experience was, and we don't know what that was. Was it some sort of pagan religion? I mean, there were so many of them at the time, it could have been anything, but just from what he knew, and from his own life experience, he had garnered enough faith such that it put everyone else to shame. And so he approaches the Lord, and he speaks to him and says he's very sick. He's very sick. And the Lord will say, well, let's go and visit him then. And the man stops him and says this amazing thing. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word, and I know that my servant will be healed, because I'm a man under authority, and I tell someone to go and do this, and I know it will be done. Or I tell a slave to go and do this, and I know that it will be done. I don't need to see in order to understand this. And the Lord was astounded by this. Do you hear this man? I tell you, I've not seen such faith even among the people of Israel. And again, this was a Roman soldier. And this was not a good time, if you will, in the history of the world. Rome was decadent, it was corrupt, it was seeking to acquire territory everywhere. There was immorality everywhere. It was really a horrible place in most all respects. Though they probably did know what a woman is, though, I'm guessing. But, which maybe shed some light on our own age today, which seems to be equally decadent, equally corrupt. But the Lord, in saying this, was laying down something for all of us to understand as well. Because as we see, all through the Old Testament, the Jews, the chosen people, they obey God sometimes, they disobey Him other times, and it's a really rocky road all through the history of the Old Testament until we get to the appearance of our Lord, a very difficult time. And even since then, we have to say, if we are honest with ourselves, it's been equally rocky. Even though, as Orthodox Christians, we now have everything. We are at the culmination of all of salvation history. Everything that the Lord had done in the Old Testament, everything that He did in the New Testament to give us absolutely everything we need, and yet we prove ourselves so often no better than the Jews who He was condemning back then in light of the faith of this centurion. It's quite an astounding thing, the nature of the human person and the things that they go through, and the fact that we can be so unfaithful and see so many outstanding miracles happen in the church and elsewhere, and and then turn right around and not practice our faith or deny it or become lukewarm, all these sorts of things. It happens all the time. But the Lord, you know, he follows up with this after talking about the great faith of the centurion. And he says, I tell you, many will come from the east and the west, meaning all over the world, to sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But those who are chosen, those who are the ones that belong to that heritage, will be cast out. So we see that the idea of following Christ, the idea of salvation itself, is conditional upon our response. Because he was saying even the Jews at that point, who had inherited all the promises, who had seen all the incredible things that they saw through the history of the Old Testament, now perhaps would not even be invited into that kingdom. And we shouldn't for one minute think that we as Orthodox Christians are going to fare any better than they did if somehow we also are not willing to follow the Lord in all that he asks. They were the people of the promises, yet they possibly might be denied, according to the Lord's own words. And we have received everything. We have received the greatest gift of the world, the incorporation into the church, the baptism that we are seeing here today, where all the angels of heaven are just storming the place with angelic voices singing in praise and glory, and so happy that another child has been born into the kingdom of God. And yet we could lose all of that. Just being Orthodox is not going to do it. In the end, it is not going to do it. Now, it does have the advantage in that we too have been given everything. Only saints will rise from the Orthodox Church. But that hardly means that there might not be others outside of us from who knows where, that according to their own faith of what they are given and what they know and the use that they make of it might zap into heaven before us. It's a frightening thought, but you read it everywhere in the Gospels, really. And St. Paul talks about it over and over again, that it all has to do with our response. I've always said, and you guys have heard this a million times, that Orthodoxy is the show me religion. Okay, we don't simply proclaim this and then go on our merry way. We are to demonstrate what we have been given by our actions, by what we do. And so if there's an Orthodox Christian who proclaims that proudly and hangs icons up in every single room of their house, and they come to church twice a year for Pascha and Christmas, that person is not an Orthodox Christian. That person is a hypocrite, because the faith demands our assent. The faith demands our action. The faith demands our prayer, our willing to lay down our lives for the faith and even for our neighbor, and maybe even for our neighbor that we don't really like very much. That is what is asked of us. And if you didn't know that before you came on board, I mean, perhaps it was bad catechism, or perhaps you just weren't paying attention. But this is what the Orthodox faith is all about. It is that one great vessel, channel of grace, coming from heaven to earth that has the potential to bless everyone, to just incredibly transform everyone on the earth who honestly partakes of it and pays attention to it and practices it and prays and fasts and gives alms and is a person who is awakened to the things of God. This centurion was, and he stands as a rock and stumbling block for all of us, because he didn't have anything that we've got. Nothing at all. He had, Lord knows what he was practicing back then. But he knew from the things that he apprehended from his own life, from his own order in the things that he did, and from his very scant connection with the things of the Spirit. He learned enough to make this amazing testimony before Jesus Christ in today's gospel. And he was rewarded for it, because the servant from that self-same moment was healed of his affliction. The same kind of healing that is offered to us every time we come to church, every time we participate in the communal aspects of the baptism. Because this just isn't the priest, the clergy here going and doing something and performing something, and there the child is baptized. No, that baptism, everything that is done in this baptism, the grace of the Holy Spirit descending upon the waters, is not only dependent upon the clergy, but upon all of the people here, the community. Just as Holy Communion is not an individualistic thing, but is made manifest in the community of Christ, so is baptism, so is holy unction, so is anything else that we do. All of your prayers, important as they are when they are done in the home, are but this big compared to the power of the prayers of the community in Christ. That's how important it is. That's why you're constantly hearing me and other priests, Father Anastasis probably back there said, yeah, go, brother. Yeah, me too. Telling people, come to church. Be in church. There is no excuse for not being church. Nothing. We can't use the excuse, Lord, I have to marry a wife. Lord, I have to plow a field, etc., etc., as it says in another place in the gospel. Instead, we have to say that there is no place better to be at any time, and there is no activity that we are ever engaged in that should usurp it for any reason. Nothing. Because the Lord on the great day of judgment isn't going to ask you how great your vacation was. It's not going to happen. He's going to shine that brilliant light coming from the river of fire in heaven on you. And he's going to look to see if he sees any of him in you. And that's going to be the judgment that we all are going to have to come upon his great throne on that unbelievably terrible day. So it starts now. Come to the throne now. Be part of the community, always and everywhere. Don't use excuses for not going to church. I've heard them all. They stink. They really do. They're horrible. They're horrible excuses. And I'm not, lest you want me to start naming names for the people that aren't here today. No, there are reasons where a number of people aren't here today. We're not talking about that. We're talking about when you are here and you're healthy and you're not here, then that's the problem. Recommit yourselves, my brothers, because little Basil here needs that. He needs the support of all the prayers of this community now so that he can grow in Christ. And if we're not in Christ, there's not going to be anything for him to absorb, is there? So may all of us here partake of the beautiful glories of this wonderful service, these incredible mysteries of the church that we offer. And that the angels are supporting us all in the ranks of saints all around us right now as we proceed through the divine liturgy and the sacrifice of the holy body and blood of our Lord. They are all with us. They all unite us. And may each of them invigorate each one of you to a renewed commitment to our Lord and Savior. Amen.